We praise you. You're the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You're the God who created the universe. You're the God who spoke and the worlds came into being. Jesus, you're the Savior, the Messiah, the God-man, the crucified one, the resurrected Lord. Holy Spirit, you're our helper, our advocate, the Spirit of truth who guides us into the truth. We praise you, Father, Son, and Spirit. We praise you, Lord, that you are the head of the church of all who've been born again by your Spirit, everyone who said yes to you. Thank you that you've given us a gospel that's to go to the end of the age, and it's no respecter of person. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord may be saved. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin. Thank you for the hope of eternal life, the guarantee of heaven. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you that you're here right now among your people. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you indwell us. Thank you that you've given us your word that speaks to us. I pray for every person here this morning that they might call upon the name of the Lord. They might be saved. They might cast their burdens upon you and know that you care for you, care for them. I pray, Jesus, that every person might take your invitation to come to you because they're weary and they're heavy laden, and that every person might find rest for their soul. I pray, Lord, that you would bring hope to people and joy and encouragement and empowerment. I pray you'd set captives free. Jesus, I pray that you would do what only you could do in our lives. Thank you for your word. Speak to us from your word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. May your word give us faith, and may the word of God teach us and rebuke us and correct us and train us in righteousness and equip us for every good work. Jesus, I pray that we would meet with you in this moment of worship. Give every one of us humble hearts to hear your voice, to receive your word implanted, which is able to save our souls. And I pray that that is exactly what it'll do. And we ask for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Well, good morning. Thank you so much for gathering with us at Crossline. I'm Pastor JP. I have the privilege of being the senior pastor here. And we are just at the beginnings of a new series that we've started. We're looking at a teaching discourse of Jesus. It's found in the Gospel of John, chapters 14, 15, 16, and 17. You can turn in your Bibles to discover it there. You'll find, if you have one of those red letter editions where the words of Jesus are in red, that this entire section is in red. It's Jesus teaching us how to stay connected to God. And by the way, if you don't have a Bible and you need one, that Bible that's right in front of you on the back of the pew, please take that, use it, read it. God's Word has the power to change your life, and we would count it a privilege to be able to give you a Bible that would help you find the very words of God so that God could speak to you. In this section, as I mentioned, Jesus is talking about how we stay close to God. Because let me just do a straw poll. Have anybody discovered that sometimes it's kind of stay hard to close with God? And would you raise your hand if maybe that's difficult at times? Yeah, you know, there's just a rhythm of life that comes at us. And even though we may love the Lord, even though we may have been followers of Jesus for most of our lives, there are times where it's very easy to get disconnected. And Jesus anticipated that that was what was going to happen to his immediate followers, because he was very close to going to the cross. And then he was going to be resurrected, and he was going to ascend back to the Father in heaven. And what he teaches in John 14, 15, 16, and 17 is even though he physically was not going to be with his followers, they could have a more intimate relationship with God, a closer relationship with Jesus than they actually could with his physical presence. Because in this section, Jesus talks about how to abide in him and the fact that the Holy Spirit lives inside of us and how we can pray with the expectancy that our prayers are heard and answered and how his word can come alive to us and how we can actually hear his voice. It is one of the most practical sections about how to have a day-by-day, moment-by-moment, connected, intimate, personal relationship with Jesus. And the passage that we're going to look at today, it's very simple, and yet at the same time, it is amazingly profound, because Jesus is telling us that the relationship that we're to have with him is to mirror the relationship that he had with the Father. Jesus is going to say, hey, in the same way that the Father is abiding in me, and the works that I do because the Father's in me, what I want is for you to abide in me, and the works that you do are going to be my works through you because I'm living in you. And the way that you do these works is by connecting with me through prayer. In fact, whatever you ask in prayer, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So Jesus said, I've got this abiding relationship with the Father. I want you to have an abiding relationship with me. The works that I do because the Father's living in me. And the works that you're going to do because I'm going to be living in you. And you know what? You're going to be able to do those works because you're going to pray to me and I'm going to hear and answer your prayers. And you're not going to do the works that I do. You're going to do even greater works. Let's look at what Jesus says. John chapter 14, verses 7 to 14. If you'd known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him, and you've seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it's enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet you've not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and that the Father's in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I'm in the Father, and the Father's in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. What Jesus is talking about here is a supernatural, miraculous experience where just as the Father was living in Jesus, Jesus is going to live in us. And just as Jesus did the works that the Father did in him and through him, we as his followers can do the works of Jesus as Jesus lives in and through us. And the means by which Jesus lives in and through us and produces his works is by prayer, because Jesus said, whatever we ask in his name, that will he do. See, what Jesus is saying is, I want to take you out of just a same-o kind of life into an intimate connection with me that's nothing less than supernatural. I want to take you out from just a moral, religious life to a life where I actually live in you and I live through you and I produce my works in and through your life. See, for most of us, we look at a passage like this and we wanna pick it apart and try to find how it doesn't actually mean what it seems to say that it means. And the reason that we do that is not because it's difficult to understand. It's just that we see so few examples of people who really live like this. And yet Jesus is not calling us as his followers to just reflect a life that other people are living. He's calling us to live a life that he's actually living. Because let me ask you this. The Christian life, it's a supernatural life. There's only one person who ever really lived it. Who was that? Jesus. And the only way we could ever live the Christian life is by Jesus living it through us. And see, what Jesus says is, the life that I lived, I didn't even live on my own. I lived it because the Father was living in me. And guess what? The life that you live, you're going to live not because you're trying really hard, and not because you're really moral, and not because you're really religious. No, you're going to be able to live it because I'm going to live in you. And the way you connect with me so that I stay daily, moment by moment, living in you is through prayer, because whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. Does this make sense? Okay. Are you getting it? I don't think you are. Are you getting it? Okay, let me see if I can unpack it, because first of all, to come to this conclusion, you got to see what the Bible's actually saying. So in any passage of Scripture that you look at, you want to understand what God's saying, you want to receive that into your life, then you want to live that out in the power of the Holy Spirit. So to see what God's saying, you want to ask some questions. You want to ask, are there any truths that I need to believe? Are there any commands that I need to obey? And are there any promises that I need to claim? That's just good Bible study in any passage of Scripture that you're reading. Any truths I need to believe, any commands I need to obey, any promises that I need to claim. Well, in this passage, there's some truths we need to believe. So here's some of the truths that we need to believe. Number one, if you know Jesus, you know the Father. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. Jesus is in the Father, and the Father is in Jesus. Jesus does not speak on his own initiative. The Father abiding in Jesus does his works. The one who believes in Jesus will do the works of Jesus and do even greater works. Jesus goes to the Father, and whatever we ask in Jesus' name, that will he do so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. See, these are statements of truth that Jesus gives us. And when you see a statement of truth in the Bible, the response is to believe it. So just like Jesus said last week, we looked at it, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. We see that. It's a truth statement. We believe it. Here, Jesus makes certain truth statements that we're to receive and to believe. Because when you know the truth shall set you free. If you believe it. If you believe it. So here's some things that Jesus wants us to receive and to believe. Now, not only are there truths to believe, there's a command to obey. There's one command in this passage. It's we're to believe Jesus, that Jesus is in the Father, and that the Father is in him. Verse 11, Jesus says, believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me, otherwise believe because of the works themselves. Twice he uses the word believe. It's the Greek verb pistuo. It's in the imperative command form, pistuete, which means this is what I want you to believe. I'm commanding you, believe it. What is he commanding us to believe? That Jesus is in the Father and the Father's in Jesus. And there's a promise. If we ask anything in Jesus' name, he will do it. If we ask anything in Jesus' name, he will do it. So you take these truths, you take this command, you take these promises, you put them together, and you get the big idea of what Jesus is saying here. The big idea is we abide in Jesus the same way Jesus abode in the Father. We abide in Jesus the same way Jesus abode in the Father. Jesus did his work because of the Father abiding in him. We do Jesus' work because of Jesus abiding in us. We do Jesus' work as we pray and ask him to do what only he can do in and through our lives. Do you get it? I don't think you get it. I don't think you get it. See, what Jesus is talking about here is not what most of us think about when we think about Christianity. See, when most of us think about Christianity, we think of a religion where you believe in God and try to be a good person. Or we think of a religion, you believe in God, you accept Jesus as your Savior, and you try to be a good person. Or you believe in God, you accept Jesus as your Savior, you know you're going to heaven, and right now you try to be a good person. Or you believe in God, you accept Jesus as your Savior, you know you're going to heaven, you try to keep certain commandments and be a good person. Now, none of those things that I'm saying are not true. But they're not the essence of what Jesus is telling us of what it really means to be in a relationship with him or what it really means to stay close to him. The essence of what Jesus is saying is this. Just as I have this relationship where the Father is abiding in me and the life that I live, this supernatural life that you live through all the works that you see me do, I didn't do those on my own. I did them because the Father living in me did them. In the same way, I'm going to live in you and the supernatural life you're going to live, the works that you do, aren't going to be because you're such a good person. It's because I'm living in you and through you and I'm expressing myself through you. I'm thinking through your mind. I'm loving through your heart. I'm speaking through your mouth. I'm living my resurrection life through you. It's a supernatural life. That's what Jesus is teaching. And he says, because it's a supernatural life, it takes supernatural resources. So the only way you can do it is you got to ask the Father to do what only he can do. You got to pray for miracles in your life. And if you'll do that, if you will have a moment by moment, day by day relationship where you're asking me to do my works in you and through you, I will live my life through you in the same way that the Father lived his life through me. Are you seeing it? See, this is amazing. And like I said, It's simple, but it's profound. And the reason many of us want to try to think, well, maybe he's teaching something else, isn't because it's not clear. It's we just see so few examples of people who really live like this. But that's because what Jesus is calling us to is not just a better version of same-o, or a more religious version of normal life. Now, think about what Jesus says. Think about conversion. Think about what it means to be born again. You come to a place where you acknowledge, I can't live like God wants me to. I fall short. I have a sin problem. I can't overcome it. I accept Jesus as the one who died for me and did what I couldn't do for myself. I acknowledge that, and by faith, I receive Jesus into my life. I take that step. Well, do you know, every step after that is to be made on the same basis. I can't live the Christian life. I don't have what it takes to love my neighbor as myself, to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, to be a holy person, to live a godly life, to serve in an other-centered way. I don't have that, but I receive what Jesus has done for me, what I couldn't do for myself, and by faith, I take another step. You see, just like Jesus took every step of his life with the Father living through him, we're to take every step of our life with Jesus living through us. Do you get it? Did anybody get it out there? This is an amazing, liberating truth. I'm reading a book right now. In fact, I actually read it when I was a young man. I'm reading it again. It's called They Found the Secret. It's a biography of 14 different kind of Christian leaders, missionaries and pastors, very famous ones within the Christian world. But it's all a story of their biography, but how they found the secret. What's the secret? What's said right here in John chapter 14? It's how they got set free from religion, set free from just trying to be a more moral person, set free from trying to actually trusting. That's what Jesus wants to do for us. He wants to set us free from trying so that we're actually trusting. And it's not our life just getting a little bit better. It's his life in us in the same way it was the Father's life in Jesus. So how do we respond to that? I got three things to put into practice so that this becomes real for us. Real for us. Here's the first one. We need to recognize Jesus' relationship to the Father. See, before it can change our life, before we can experience what Jesus modeled, we got to see what Jesus modeled. We got to see what Jesus is really saying. And how that then becomes a basis for how we're to be really living. So Jesus revealed the Father. Jesus was not just a good moral person. Jesus was not just a prophet. Jesus was not just the founder of a religion. Jesus was in the Father, and the Father was in Jesus. Think about that. Jesus was in the Father, and the Father was in Jesus. That's why John says in the beginning of his gospel in John chapter 1, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who's in the bosom of the Father, he has revealed him. That's why Paul says over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, God, who said, let there be light, has shown his light to give us a knowledge of the glory of God seen in the face of Jesus Christ. God's glory is actually seen in the face of Jesus Christ. That's why the writer of the Hebrews says over in Hebrews chapter 1, God, who spoke to our forefathers in many portions and many ways through the prophets, has spoken to us in this day through his Son. The Son is the exact representation of the Father, who exhibits the full radiance of God himself. And after he made purification for sins, he rose from the dead and sat down at the right hand of the throne on high. That's why Paul says over in Colossians chapter 1, Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. See, Jesus is in the Father and the Father's in Jesus. We've got to be able to recognize that. Jesus reveals the Father. If you see Jesus, you've seen the Father. Because the Father's in Jesus and Jesus is in the Father. And Jesus did his works by means of the Father living in him. Jesus did his works by means of the Father living in him. When you start understanding this is what Jesus taught, it opens up some things in the Gospels that maybe we've been misreading. So, Jesus, who is the God-man, I'm going deep right here. This is not Theology 101. This is like 301. So, brace. Jesus, who is the God-man, did not live his earthly life as the Son of God. He lived it as a perfect man. See, in Philippians chapter 2, it says, although he existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself and took on the form of a servant, and being found in likeness and appearance of a man, he humbled himself even to the point of death, death on a cross. So Jesus, in the incarnation, God becoming a man, Jesus is the perfect God-man, but Jesus didn't live his life as the God-man. He lived his life as the God-man. A perfect man who was dependent upon the Father. That's why Jesus is a perfect example to us. So we can't use this cop-out and look at the life of Jesus and say, well, I can't be like that. Well, he's the Son of God. No, he was the perfect man who depended upon the Father, and everything he did as the Father lived through him, and that's why he says to us, everything we do, we're to do as Jesus lives through us. So think about this. The very beginning of Jesus' ministry, if you've been with us in our Gospels challenge, we're going through the Gospels in the first 3 months. We're almost finished with the Gospel of Matthew. At the very beginning of the Gospel of Matthew, you got Jesus who goes into the wilderness for 40 days, fasting and praying. At the end of that time, the devil shows up and tries to tempt him. What does he want him to do with those stones? Turn them into bread. Now, as the Son of God, could Jesus have turned stones into bread? But for him to do that meant he was to be acting independently of what God wanted for him. And so Jesus says to the devil, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. When he said man, who was he referring to? Himself. I'm not going to live by that. I'm going to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's why we can, when we're tempted, follow the same pattern of Jesus. Because Jesus, as a man, trusted in God and his word. We, as human beings, can trust in God and his word. So Jesus is a perfect example for us. That's why Jesus in John chapter 14 said, the works that I do, I didn't do on my own. It's the Father doing through me. And by the way, the works that you do, they're not going to be yours either. They're going to be me doing them through you. Are you getting this? This is amazing. This is, it's simple. It's amazingly profound. That's why this book I'm reading is They Found the Secret. Only it's not really a secret. It's all over the Bible. God wants us to be living supernatural lives, miraculous lives. And the only way that can happen is just as the Father lived through Jesus, Jesus lives through us. But we've got to first recognize Jesus' relationship to the Father. So Jesus revealed the Father. Jesus was in the Father. The Father was in Jesus. Jesus did his works by means of the Father living in him. Here's the second thing. We need to receive our relationship with Jesus. So just like Jesus had a relationship with the Father, we need to receive our relationship with Jesus. So just like Jesus was in the Father and the Father was in Jesus, this is what's true about every believer. I'm in Jesus and Jesus is in me. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you can say, I'm in Jesus and Jesus is in me. In fact, if you're a believer, say that with me. I'm in Jesus and Jesus is in me. You just stated what the entire New Testament teaches about living the Christian life. I'm in Jesus and Jesus is in me. See, I'm in Jesus, that's my position. That's the truest thing about me is what God says is true. I'm in Jesus and Jesus is in me, that's my practice. And the key is getting my position to be my practice. Well, how do I get my position to be my practice? Well, I got to know that I'm in Jesus, but Jesus is in me. So Jesus wants to think through my mind. Jesus wants to speak through my mouth. Jesus wants to love through my heart. Jesus wants to live his resurrection life through my body. And so as I grow as a follower of Jesus and increasingly in every relationship and every situation and every decision and every character development and every life's choice, I live out of I'm in Jesus and Jesus is in me, and as Jesus lives through me, that's living the life that Jesus lived, because the Father lived through Jesus. Now Jesus is living through me. But God, how does that happen? How can that be? Well, I got to pray and ask Jesus to do what only Jesus can do in my life. And then I'll do the works of Jesus, and not only that, I'll do even greater works. Are you getting this? This is unbelievable. So we have to recognize Jesus' relationship to the Father. We've got to receive our relationship with Jesus. I'm in Jesus, and Jesus is in me. I live the Christian life by means of Jesus living in me. I told you I read this book called They Found the Secret. Oh, it's not a secret. It's all over the Bible. In fact, it's all over this teaching discourse of Jesus here in John 14, 15, 16, and 17. Because in the next chapter, John 15, Jesus said, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you're the branches." In John chapter 17, Jesus said, "I do not ask on behalf of all these alone. I'm praying, Father, for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be in us and the world may believe that you sent me." This is Jesus' plan from the very beginning. Just as Jesus is in the Father and the Father is in Jesus, every believer would be in Jesus and Jesus would be in them. They would all be in God and the world would know that the Father sent the Son. Why? Because we're all just trying to be good moral people. No, they would see the supernatural unity that Jesus has with the Father, Jesus has with us, and that we have with Jesus and the Father. This was the secret the Apostle Paul talked about, only it's not a secret. It's in every one of his letters. Romans chapter 8, he says, "You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but you're in the Spirit, because the Spirit of God lives in you. And since you have the Spirit of God, you belong to Christ. And since Christ is in you, even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And since the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will give life to your body through his Spirit who lives in you." Paul writes to the Ephesians, "But because of his great love for us, God, who's rich in mercy, he made us alive with Christ. He raised us up with Christ. He seated us with Christ in heavenly places." Paul wrote to the Colossians, "In Christ is all the fullness of God in bodily form, and you have been made complete in Christ. He's the head over every power and authority, and in him your old self was put aside, that self that was ruled by the flesh. It was put off when you were placed in Christ, and you've been buried with Christ in baptism. You've been raised up with Christ when you were raised from the dead. So keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above and not the things on earth. For you've died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." And it's beautifully described by the Apostle Paul, this truth, that the Father was in Jesus, and Jesus is in us. And I'm in Jesus, and Jesus is in me. In Galatians 2:20, "I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me." So that moment of crossing the line, when we receive Christ, when we put our faith in Christ, and I believe if this is going to be like the last service, there's going to be several of you here today, this very day, you make that decision to ask Jesus to come into your life. You make that decision. You're crucified with Christ, and Christ is crucified into you. You become a new person because Christ comes into you. That's your first step of faith. Christ is in you. And now every step is Christ in you, Christ in you, Christ in you, Christ in you. See, Jesus is saying in John chapter 14, because he's going away back to the Father. He's speaking to troubled hearts. He's trying to tell them, this is how you stay close to God. You live your life the same way I live my life. See, the Father was abiding in me, and that's how I did these works, because they were the Father's works through me. I'm going to be abiding in you, and the greater works you're going to do are going to be the works that I do through you. And the way that you do these works is you stay connected to me in prayer, and you ask me to do miracles, and guess what? I hear and answer those prayers, and those miracles are the works that I do through you. Are you getting this? Yes. This is what Jesus is teaching. So we got to recognize the relationship that Jesus had with the Father. We got to receive our relationship with Jesus. Oh, and by the way, because I brought this up. I better use it. This is a puppet. I got it over in the education building. So you know, when my kids were little, we had the Sesame Street puppets, and if you've seen the Mr. Rogers movie lately, you know Mr. Rogers used all those puppets, and kids love puppets. The amazing thing about puppets with kids is kids don't see them as puppets. Do you realize that? Kids see them like they're alive.
How you doing, JP?
I'm doing all right.
Ooh, whoa. Look at all those people. That's intimidating. Whoa. Whoa.
See, if I was doing this in front of a bunch of kids, eventually they'd start looking at the puppet, not at me talking, and they'd be oblivious to the fact that my hand's in the puppet, making the puppet move. They would actually like think the puppet has life in itself. And see, like those kids, that's what we begin to think about ourselves spiritually. I got life in myself. JP's a good guy. He's got something to bring to the table of the Christian life. And since I've been a Christian for a long time, I got even more stuff. And since, you know, I get paid for being good and you guys are just good for nothing, I got a lot of good stuff. And that's what messes me up, because I think I got something to add to the equation. When Jesus says, and he's going to tell us this very clearly over in John 15, you know, I am the vine, you're the branch. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So Jesus says, you know what? It's the Father abiding in me, doing the work. And for you, it's going to be me abiding in you, doing the work. So we have Jesus abiding in us, and we abide in Jesus. Bam, that's a Christian life. That's it. So we've got to recognize that was Jesus' relationship with the Father. We've got to receive our relationship with Jesus. And here's the third thing, because this relates to the payoff that he talks about here in this passage. We reproduce Jesus' works. We reproduce Jesus' works by continuously asking Jesus to do miracles in and through our life. By continually asking Jesus to do what only he can do in and through our life. That's how we reproduce his works, because he said, to anyone who believes in me, the works that I do will you do also, and greater works will these will you do, because I go to the Father, and whatever you ask of the Father in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Ask me anything in my name, and I'll do it. So we reproduce the works of Jesus as we continuously ask him to do what only he can do. And by the way, that's what a miracle is. A miracle is just Jesus doing what only Jesus can do. Anything you can't do, but Jesus can do, that's a miracle when he does it. And the invitation is to anyone, whoever believes. In fact, this is a present nominative participle of the verb pistuo. Now, I'm throwing that in there because it means something. So I told you before, the command was the verb pistuo, which is to believe in the imperative form. This is the same verb pistuo in what grammatically is called the present nominative participle. What's a present nominative participle? It's the one who does whatever it is it's describing. So the one who believes. Jesus is saying, the one who believes in me, the works that I do will he do also, and greater works than these will he do because I go to the Father. So it's not just the apostles. It's not just the great missionaries, the 14 people that I'm reading about who found the secret. It's not just the pastors, not just the elders. It's anyone who believes. So if you believe in Jesus, the promise is for you. If you believe in Jesus, the promise of his works and greater works and of his hearing and answering your prayers, that's for you. If you believe in Jesus, you might say, I came here full of questions. I came here because somebody invited me. I didn't come here believing, but I want to believe. Guess what? The promise is for you today. You could claim it today. Jesus could come into your life today and you could begin to experience the supernatural life in Christ today and a relationship with Jesus the way he had with the Father today. It's to anyone who believes. So I do the works of Jesus and even greater works because Jesus does them through me. Jesus does his works through me even as he goes to the Father. See, Jesus says, anyone who believes in me, the works that I do will he do also, and greater works than these will he do because I go to the Father, and he kind of ... and then picks up, if you ask me anything in my name, that will I do. But in a few verses later, next week and the week after, we'll pick up what he means when I go to the Father, because he's going to explain in John, the end of John chapter 14, oh, by the way, I'm going to go to the Father, but I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. Guess what? I'm sending to you the helper, the advocate, the counselor, the Spirit of truth, who will be with you and will be in you. And so by means of the Holy Spirit actually living in you, that's how you're going to be able to live this supernatural life. But before I get to that, let me tell you kind of your immediate response to this promise about the Father abiding in me and me abiding in you, and the works that I do will I do through you. And this is how it's done. You ask the Father in my name and I'll do it. Ask me anything and I'll do it. That's how we reproduce the works of Jesus. Well, what are the works of Jesus? I have to tell you, this past week, that's what I've been really wrestling with. In fact, I invited a few of you. Please pray for me. I see this passage, and it's like I'm trying to understand, what are the works of Jesus? Well, you could look at the course of Jesus' life, the full expression of Jesus' life, everything that Jesus did. Because that's all the word works is ergon. It just means something that's produced. It's something that's manifested, something that's seen. The works of Jesus. Well, it's Jesus keeping the law, obeying the word of God. It's Jesus loving the Father. It's Jesus loving his neighbor. It's Jesus teaching the word of God. It's Jesus preaching the gospel to the lost. It's Jesus healing the sick. It's Jesus destroying the works of the devil. It's Jesus living a life that glorified God. Just everything Jesus did was the works of Jesus. That's true. But you know, in the immediate context, he's actually helping us get a clue here. So he says in verse, he's talking to Peter, Philip, and he says, if you don't believe because of my words that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me, believe because of the works. And then he turns around and says, and the works that I do will you do also, and greater works. So the works are the manifestation of Jesus in our life that helps someone believe. So when someone looks at our life, and by the way we live our life, they come to believe in Jesus, those are the works. See, that's what Jesus prayed for in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. Let your light shine before men, that others may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So, see, Jesus said, I was abiding in the Father, and because I was abiding in the Father lived through me, and people could see God through me. I'm going to abide in you, and I'm going to live through you, and you know what? People are going to see God through you. Here's the amazing thing. Just as Jesus said to Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You know what Jesus is saying we could say? If you've seen me, you've seen Jesus. Wow. Wow. That's the life Jesus wants to give us. That's the life Jesus wants to give this church. That's the life Jesus wants to give every one of his followers. And he says, but for that to happen, that's supernatural. So what I want you to do is I want you to pray and ask me anything, any one of these kind of works where I could show myself through you. And you know what? I will do it. Because you know what Jesus wants? The whole world to come to believe. And he wants to use us to help make that happen. Jesus is telling us, ask in his name, believe based upon his promise, and act understanding it's Jesus living through us. Ask in his name, believe based upon his promise, and then take a step of action, trusting it's Jesus living through you in that step. Remember when Jesus walked on water? So he sends the disciples out in a boat. And they're on the Sea of Galilee. And at night, it's kind of stormy. And at night, Jesus walks out to the boat on water. Just, you know, I'm not even sure. He probably had an attitude, you know? It's kind of like, I'm walking on water. So here's the disciples. They see Jesus walking on water, and they're terrified. It's a ghost. Except Peter. Remember what he said? It's Jesus. He recognized it's Jesus walking on water. And then Peter said, Jesus, if that's you, command me to come out to you also. And Jesus is walking on water, and he says, Peter, come. So Peter, he's in the boat. He's looking at Jesus. He steps out of the boat, and he goes, I'm walking on water. I'm walking on water. I'm walking on water. See, Peter, I think he gets a bad rap. Because we talk about, we've heard sermons preached about, he took his eyes off Jesus and he started to sink. Two people walked on water in all of human history. Jesus and Peter. Think about it. See, I use that illustration because I'm going to guarantee something for you and for me. And I'm not speaking death over anybody. I'm just talking about reality. We're going to receive this word from God, this sermon. We're going to put this into practice. It's going to be amazing because we're going to experience Jesus, this abiding relationship with Jesus. Just like Jesus was abiding with the Father, we're going to have Jesus abiding in us. Jesus did the works that the Father did through him. We're going to do works that Jesus does through us. We are, in effect, going to walk on water. But at some point, maybe this afternoon, tonight, tomorrow, sometime, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take our eyes off Jesus, and we're going to sink. And if we think, well, that's over. I guess that didn't work. We've missed the whole point. See, the Christian life is a life of faith, one step after another after another. You may take three steps forward and two steps back, but you know what? That's still one step forward. You may get out of the boat and walk for a while and sink, but guess what? You got out of the boat and you walked for a while. See, God is saying, listen, you got to maybe like Bill Murray, take baby steps. But keep on taking steps because I live in you. And what I'm laying out for you is the possibility to live a supernatural life, to live the kind of life that I lived. Just as the Father was abiding in Jesus, Jesus is abiding in us. And just as Jesus did the works that the Father did through him, Jesus is saying we can do the works that Jesus does through us. But we can't do that on our own. Prayer is the only way it's going to happen. We got to ask God to do what only he can do in our lives. And there is in your bulletin a little prayer card. And just as an action step, what I'd like every one of us here to do before we leave this campus is to write out on that prayer card, what's that miracle work we want Jesus to do in and through our lives? What is it that we want Jesus to do that only Jesus could do in us and through us? Just write that prayer out. And before we leave, take that prayer, take it to the wall. We have on the back of our church a prayer wall. Nothing magic about it, but we built it to look like the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem where people put their prayers. It's a point of contact to remind us to pray. Ask Jesus to do what only Jesus can do in your life, knowing that as he's abiding through you, you're going to be living the same kind of life that he lived as the Father was abiding in him. And the works that Jesus did, you'll be able to do because it's Jesus living in you and through you, and you're accessing that life through prayer, asking Jesus to do what only he can do. Would you pray with me? Father, I pray right now that you'd speak to every person here. Gosh, anything I said that's just my opinion, I pray that they'd wouldn't remember, but what is your word, I pray, we'd all receive. That we'd abide in you, Jesus. Knowing that you abide in us. And that the work that you did, we'd do also. And we'd ask in your name. Jesus, I pray that you would produce much fruit through us and in us. Do supernatural things here at Crossline. Do miraculous things in people's lives. Set people free. Heal relationships. Produce love where none exists. Fill lives with forgiveness and gentleness and compassion. Heal sick bodies. Set people free from addiction and oppression and captivity. Make the gospel known to those who've never heard it. Bless the least of these, the broken and the hurting, with peace and grace. Jesus, do your work in us and through us. And Lord, I pray right now for any person who's here this morning. They came here, not sure what they believed, but they want to know you. They want this supernatural life. They want you living in them. They want to abide in you, Jesus. I pray for that person right now, their eyes would be opened and they would realize that you made this promise to anyone who would believe. So enable them right now to believe. And if that's you, just express your belief in prayer. Make my prayer your own. Just say, Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, come into my life. Live in me. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, do your works through me. If you're praying that prayer right now, I want to pray for you. Just as every head is bowed, if you're asking Jesus into your life, if you're asking Jesus to live through you, if you're asking Jesus to do his greater works through you, let me pray for you. Just raise your hand right where you are so I can see that I want to pray for you. If you're asking for that, God bless you. Yes, I pray for you. Yes, Lord Jesus. Anyone else, you're asking Jesus to come into your life. Yes, I pray for you. I pray, God, that you'd recognize each of these people. Thank you so much. God sees your heart. God, help every one of these dear folks understand that you heard their cry, that you've come into their life. You're never going to leave them, and you're going to live your life through them. I pray, dear God, that you'd do that for every person here. We'd abide in you as Jesus abode in the Father, and the works that you did, Jesus, we will do also, and greater works. We ask you to do this, and you promised that anything we ask in your name, you would do. So, Jesus, thank you for hearing our prayer. Thank you for being in our lives. Thank you for being you. In Jesus' name, amen.